And let's get into Revelation. Revelation 6 and verse 2 is our memory verse for lesson number 17. If you need lesson 17, Brother Collins is there ready to pass those out. Anybody need that? Raise your hand if you need lesson number 17. All right, we're getting some of those out. Very good. In our memory verse, Revelation 6, 2, we've said this now for quite a while. We should have it almost memorized, right? Maybe. All right, we'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference, and begin. Revelation 6, 2, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Revelation 6, 2. And again, Revelation 6, 2. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Revelation 6, 2. Father, thank you that you have everything under control in our lives. Thank you that you are God. And you have a reason for everything that happens, and it's always the very best reason. And I pray that you would just help us to realize that one day this event will take place, as we read it in Revelation 6, and you have a reason. You've shown us throughout the Scripture some of the reasons, and you've certainly made that very clear. And so I pray that you will use your word today to teach us some things, show us some more things, but especially to change our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about a deceitful diplomat, Roman numeral 1. We did a lot of review. We're not going to review today. But a deceitful diplomat is our first horseman here. We are talking about the apocalyptic four horsemen here in Revelation 6. And the first one is in verse 2. On a white horse, describing, again, this deceitful diplomat, capital A, his description, the description, "Behold, a white horse." And then we have a description. "He that sat on him had a bow, a crown was given unto him." And it is evident in what is seen by John that he went forth conquering and to conquer. And again, the white horse was a symbol of a conqueror, and we talked about that. We did talk about the bow, but no arrow being mentioned. There is a threat of attack. There is a strong indication of wars and war taking place. And we do later learn that in describing him, that he is a diplomat. There is a lot of diplomacy. There is a lot of politics, shall we say. And again, this crown is a crown that is not a royalty type of a crown, not a diadema. It is a Stephanos. It is given. It is not passed down through succession. It is given to him. It is, I believe, forced. He is a forced ruler by his power. He does not have a right to his power, but he has forced, I'm sorry, to his position, but he has forced that. And it could be, certainly, by a popular vote or a political type of rise in power. We know to be true, because he's the Antichrist, or he represents the Antichrist, that it is a satanically inspired promotion. The Antichrist is moved up in the ranks, if you will, satanically. And, you know, there's no doubt about that. We ended last week with the discussion about his mouth, the things that he said, the speaking that he did, and how that there would be three leaders would be plucked up. The Bible talks about the horns and three of them being plucked up. And somehow three leaders will fall within that time. And they will fall due to the power, the might, the who knows, you know, the indication as I read it, and maybe, you know, my mind goes too far. I can't prove this, but could be assassinations, could be leaders just removed. You know, it happens all the time. And again, we should be shocked. We should be, oh, I can't believe that happened. But we're not anymore. We're kind of used to corruption. We're becoming used to lies. We're becoming used to the spin. We're becoming, it is something that we see daily. And so look at Daniel real quick. And we closed with this, but I just want to, I'm not sure we talked about some of these verses, Daniel 7. Because again, I think it shows the Antichrist in the description of him. He doesn't, you know, I don't think we're talking about a major type of a war taking place. I think the war threat is always there. I think it is a very strong threat, and there is a definite power. There is workings going on, if you will, where he is making his move into position. Remember how powerful the Antichrist is during the tribulation, and remember he is there. I think by popular opinion, call it a vote, call it whatever you want to call it, but he is very, very powerful. Daniel 7 does give us a lot of clues. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. Talking about the Roman Empire, it devoured, break in pieces, stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and again, this is the revived Roman Empire. I considered the horns. Behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. They are deposed. Again, I say assassinated. There's no proof of death. It's just they were eliminated. They were no longer in that position. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Again, key words here, mouth speaking great things. Okay, I want you to hold on to that because I will hit some of that here in a few minutes. But a mouth speaking great things. Three leaders fall somehow. Verse 20 says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And again, we're dealing here with a look that is more stout. He looks strong. Now, does that mean physically, or does that just mean his backing? And I think more backing than physical necessarily. By the way, look at verse 21. We will eventually get there. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Verse 24, the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue. There's our word again, subdue. Again, it doesn't say what happens. Okay, it doesn't say exactly how that all takes place. The point is, he has a lot of power, and the threat is always there. The white horse, the bow, the power is there. The voice, the speaking words, the great, mighty words that are spoken. I have the feel here of a more of a political leader, a strong, strong, charismatic personality that has convinced people to back him. Again, let's try to remember that this will be a by far, people are going to love this guy at first. I mean, they are going to love this guy. They are not going to look at him. Understand, he's not going to, political ads are not going to say, the Antichrist. Okay, realize it isn't going to be like that. It is a web of deceit that is being weaved by Satan the spider. I mean, it is, you know, it's not going to, you know, we think, how could anybody follow this guy? Listen, folks, we are now in the days where we're seeing people follow people that are just as bad. Again, I'm not saying anybody's an antichrist. I'm just saying we're seeing the blind able to lead. Well, I shouldn't even use that terminology because they know what they're doing. But people will follow anybody. People will follow anything. People will listen to anything. I mean, if ever humanity is falling into the look of how God describes us, and that is all we like sheep, it's today. I mean, mankind is more like a sheep than I think ever. I mean, just listening to anything and everything. Now, so he has all this power. The threat is always there. He has somehow subdued the three. Now, again, in my mind, I think, okay, here's these kings, these leaders, okay, however they are. Three of them have been removed from relevancy, okay? They're no longer. Now, again, I don't know that they die. I don't know if they're assassinated. I don't know what it is, but three have been subdued by the one. You would think somehow, some way that people would figure out, well, those, you know, what happened to those three? Now, again, I can only, you know, there is so much speculation. But here's an idea. How do we remove three people? Well, we just make them look bad, right? We'll just make them look bad. Okay, now, again, I'm not getting into politics or anything like that. You take it for whatever it's worth. It's simply, you know, it's just simply what took place. But, didn't we just have an ambassador killed? Okay, isn't there a whole lot of question as to what really took place there? Well, not now. Now we know what took place. But right after it took place, what was the blame for that ambassador being killed? A video by a United States citizen supposedly made a video that offended people. Now, folks, I just want to ask you a question. Since when does that ever justify one of our ambassadors being massacred? It doesn't, does it?
No.
But you know how many people said it did? A lot. Just why? Because somebody said it. Because people said it, that's why. Oh, how could that American do that? How does an American get blamed for that?
Right.
Seriously. I mean, do we not have freedom of speech or not?
Right.
How does an American get blamed? Okay, all I'm trying to do is show you how this kind of stuff is going to happen. That's all. Do you know what it was based on? It was based on somebody said it. People said it. That's all. You say, man, I'll tell you what, they need to, you know, people ought to pay attention to what they're listening to, and they ought to check it out. But we don't anymore. We don't anymore. We don't check it out. We just believe what somebody said. Oh, well, they said it. It's got to be true. Oh, well, CNN reported it, so it has to be. And that's what is leading our people today. That is exactly, its spin is leading our people, okay? Look real quick, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9. We touched on this a little bit. I stand to take an opportunity to make somebody mad, which I never want anybody to be mad. I just want you to think. 2 Thessalonians 2. And verse 9, we talked about, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now that's the Antichrist, and we talked about that, and we'll get into that even more, of the Antichrist and what he does. But notice, his coming it's after the working of Satan with power, signs, and lying wonders. You know, we always think of the lying, we always think of the wonders as wondrous things, you know, making people fly, making people float, making, you know, all these kind of things. But the truth of the matter is, it could very easily be simply spinning stories to make people go the direction they want them to go. It could be spinning lies to convince people to believe those lies. And certainly that kind of stuff is going on. My next point after his description is his deceit, because it just stands out so clearly. Okay? So how do we get rid of these three leaders? Well, we could lie about them, couldn't we? I mean, how does the Antichrist, maybe there are three leaders that are very conservative leaders, and they aren't going to necessarily go along with the mark of the beast. They're not necessarily going to go along with persecuting the saints. They may not go along with deceiving the Jews. Are you with me? They may not like that. You know, they may not go along with, they might have seen through when the platform says, oh, by the way, we're for the Jews, let's vote on it. Now, again, I'm just saying those are the kinds of things that I'm talking about. I'm not saying that is what that is. Okay, don't misunderstand. I'm just saying it's so ridiculous that people don't see through it. They aren't willing to find out. That's it. Just find out the truth. That's all. Truth, because truth will stand. It always stands. But if people won't find it out, then they're going to go along with it. And it could very well be because they go along with error simply because it's what they want to happen themselves deep down. You know, we are a corrupt people. We're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do we or do we not want our own way? Sure we do. And so, you know what? If the story fits and it's going to benefit me, I might go along with it myself. What about the truth? Well. You know? You say again, the perfect example to me is this killing of our ambassador. It's just absolutely amazing how many people fell for that. Just like that. Fell for that. Like, it's our fault. You know? It's our fault. It's kind of like, well, there's so many things. But here's, you know, okay, you say, so in my mind, I see the Antichrist. That's how he is going to be so strong. Because he feeds off of the media, the internet, whatever is available during that day that will promote his agenda that basically, come on, I mean, Antichrist is opposite of Christ, and it is an agenda that is opposite of Christian things. It is an agenda that is opposite of righteousness. It is an agenda that basically strokes a carnal people into saying, you can be carnal, and I'm going to help you. You can promote yourself. You can forget about little babies in their mother's womb. You can forget about elderly folks who really have no worth anymore to the people. These are all things I believe we are going to see. We're seeing them taking place. You are the one. It's you people. You got them all upset. You're the ones that went soul winning in Islam communities. You're the ones that are telling Muslims that they need to get saved. Wait a minute. We're not just telling Muslims that. We're telling everybody that. Thank God somebody told me that. You know, so who's going to get blamed? How are they going to persecute Christians? How will they go after saved people? It's how they've done it for years and years and years. Christians are persecuted right now. As we sit here in our nice, cozy, I started to say warm, cool auditorium, because it's cool. But, Christians are being persecuted all over this world. And it's the same thinking, it's the same reasoning, it's the same, you know, how many Christians are really a threat? Well, we are a threat. We're a threat to a system that is anti-God. And we're a threat to a system that is promoting anything but God Almighty, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We're a threat to that. We're a threat to every cult because we are, you know, somebody says, well, you're just so narrow-minded. I can't help but be narrow-minded because the way is a narrow way. I don't have any choice. I can't be broad, you know. Reverends all the time, you know, you need to be more broad and be involved in community or religious movements. And all. I can't be that. Because my God said there is just one way. It's not my way. I'm not the one that wrote it. I'm not the one that provided it. I'm just the one that preaches it. And so, can you see? Can you see? You know, I honestly can see. Somebody got all stirred up about the agenda. And because I look at Glenn Herndon because I already blamed him today. But anyway, by the way, he's about to send the order for more of those. And if you're interested, you need to talk to him about that, about $11, right? But anyway, so I can't blame him. But I'd like to blame him. But anyway, you know, they get all stirred up about that because it's like, well, you're promoting one candidate. No, we're not promoting a candidate. It's just telling the truth about all the candidates. It just tells, that's all. It's just a documentary about what's going on. You can't, it's not a matter of, it's a matter of telling the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. That's our problem. They don't want the truth. Because the truth exposes. And ultimately, you know what? That truth, it exposes each of us. That's the foundation. And I'll be honest with you, you know, used to, you would think, boy, the world is just so messed up. Our world that would believe the junk, the spin. But I've been a pastor for a long time. I have never in my life seen Christians falling for this junk. And I'm not talking about national. I'm talking about right here in the hallways of our church. Falling for gossip and not checking out the truth. Somebody say amen. I feel like maybe you're involved. I'm serious. I've never seen it so bad in all my life. There are people, honestly, there are folks sitting right here. I'm sure you believe junk that is so untrue, it's out of hell itself, but you would never check it out. You just believe what the media says. And it's everywhere. And if it happened, listen to me, if it'll happen in Berean Baptist Church or First Baptist Church of Hammond or wherever it might be, if people that are good people, and they'll swallow junk, hook, line, and sinker, so that it causes them to move in their position, their thinking, their direction. You know what? If we will fall for that stuff, what in the world do we expect the world to do? What do we expect the world to do? If we don't have the decency to check it out, why do we expect the world to check it out? And let's find the truth. You know, the Bible says the truth shall set you free. If we had a campaign, presidential campaign, and we wanted to, and the truth was the key, we wouldn't have any candidates. We'd have to start over. That's our day. That is our day. You know, people sound shocked. In the debate, so-and-so said this. I just couldn't believe it wasn't true. And it's like, why are you so shocked? The shocking thing is that somebody caught it. The amazing thing is that somebody cared to catch it. Then they caught it. And then somebody else had the guts to actually speak it. Do you know nowadays if you even speak it, you're headed for a rocky road. Oh boy, I have not gotten anywhere today. Isn't that amazing? I'm counting. I could almost count the words of how far I got on this lesson today, and I really feel bad. But I did get to say what I wanted to say. Because it is, again, I want you, remember, this has been preached for years. You know, this has been preached 2,000 years. Christ is coming. Antichrist is going to do this. You know, this is going to happen. 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 I mean, understand, all of these things have been preached for all these years. But I do not think there's ever been a day where the pastor could get up and say, folks, I see it now. I see how this is going to happen. I see how the Antichrist, though he's not wearing, you know, he doesn't have a cross his forehead, I'm the Antichrist, okay? But I can see how he's going to be popular, how he's going to be loved by the people, how he's going to be, you know, rise to this power. And it's going to be almost like he's totally unchecked. Remember, when the rapture takes place, we're going to be gone. The influence of the Holy Spirit will be gone. And so, yeah, I mean, he's going to be, wow. But even if the Holy Spirit's influence was still here in us, look what we're doing. We believe garbage all the time. Just because Facebook says it, we believe it. Just because so-and-so said it, we think it must be true. Instead of checking it out. There's always a way to check it out. Amen? And as long as we will stick our heads in the sand and not check things out, then what we're saying is the truth doesn't really matter. My feelings do. And you know what that is? That's carnality. And we're set up because you know what? The Antichrist, he is carnality magnified. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to preach the truth and to learn the truth from your word. We thank you for giving us that precious word. And the ability to be able to study it. Now I pray you'll bless each of us here and help us to do your will. Bless the morning service. Bless the shepherds. Help everything to go well. And please, God, speak to the hearts of each and every one of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.